The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect those of any host or network provider on which this program appears. This show contains explicit language and frank discussion about sexuality. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Kinky Queer Revolution.
And welcome to the Kinky Queer Revolution, coming to you live back home of the Weekly Grant Cafe Boutique. I am Miriam Badashura Green, and I am here with my co-hosts,
Ishmael Lombard
and Tony.
And we have a special guest today. We're very excited to have Psycho Kitty Ryan in the house talking about speed dating and kinky speed dating, particularly. And we will also be talking about dating in general. What is it like to be dating? Well, dating is hard enough for people who are not kinky, and now this. So, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I do many, many things, but what expertise brought me in today is that I've been hosting kinky speed dating in the area. And convention that sends me out for about the last 6 years. And the format that they use is very simple. Instead of using the gender division, we use top or bottom, and make it very clear and simple now that we're going to have to try some rapid interest.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Wait, explain that to me.
Okay.
And to all the people who may not understand.
So, a lot of people will say, oh, I'm a top, and they'll be talking about how they identify themselves in the community. You know, they like to be in control, or they like to give up control, or not, or simple, very simplified, and you probably have a whole discussion on going into deeper definitions. But then there's a lot of people that are switches and will do one day and one another day, which is why I talk about it as an appetite, or, all right, going in this evening, going into this particular event, what do you have a flavor for? Are you going to be, are you going to be people that like being in control, or do you want to be people that like being out of control? And so that's why I talk about appetite versus identity. Okay. And I actually, when I put it, I got that concept and was already working on third classes and was pretty excited to use it.
I think it's spot on, and relevant to the annual kinky, as you mentioned, for our most recent Ask Week in Year column on the Wicked Grounds Patreon. I was really trying very hard to talk about the question posed from somebody who might be submissive. And I really am trying to say, if you are a person interested in submission, if you are a person interested in submitting, which is different than having an identity. It's about, don't tell me who you are, tell me what you do. I think sometimes that the question isn't, are you a top or are you a bottom, but do you top and do you bottom?
Right, exactly. It's sort of like with the key speaking event that I run, it is, looking for what you want to be and interact with tonight. And when I'm fortunate enough to be able to do multiple seedings, that's how I'm able to take care of the rest of each as well. It's like, until I get a three-sided table, you have to pick a side for now, and hopefully we'll give you another side next round.
So it sounds like this is really focused on pickup play rather than trying to find your ideal kinky life partner.
Yes, there's definitely a possibility. A lot of the events that are coming in, we have to still standalone meetup events that have not had play spaces in them. So they have been all about just meeting people.
Okay.
And I also, one of the things I do as part of the introduction is like, this is divided by having rights and top and bottom. So you will be sitting probably, most likely, unless you are common encompassing, you will likely be sitting across from somebody that is not the gender of your adversary. continuous thinking, that's okay.
Right.
Because
you're gonna learn stuff.
You're gonna learn stuff, and odds are they're here, and they're probably also a pervert.
Where do you do the Kino speed dating?
Currently at the San Francisco Citadel.
Okay.
At San Francisco, I've done it at Catalyst. Once a year, called Dark Odyssey, which I've done. I believe I'm going to be doing Kino speed dating for the Amazon, in the summer. I used to do King Speed Day all over the place. I started out doing Shibari Con in Chicago.
Okay. That was long before you moved here, yeah.
Yeah, long before you moved here. And one of the things about the, you're pretty much people that aren't necessarily ones that make it back. It's like, yes, these are perverts, which means they're probably good people to meet. And they might not be someone you want to play with.
And one of the things that I talk about a lot, with the rounds we had through the 101 series, and one of the classes is being, I'm hoping to get a video available soon for national audience. But one of the things I talk about a lot is, as long as everybody is coming away feeling like they've been protected in their identity, it's been non-exploited, all the usual, no consent violations, a bad date is just good information. Like, if what you learn about somebody when you're on a date with them is that you're wildly incompatible, right? Like, that's actually helpful because you learn something about not only about individuals and their needs, you learn something really critical about yourself and what you need, and that is a gift.
Definitely. And there's a lot of times when, even going through that process of discussing it and realization and discovery, you can learn more about your own needs.
Yeah.
You know, every time you talk about it, you're putting in a new word, you're putting a thought into it, and you're not being discovered.
Yeah, well, and I really like the idea of the kinky speed dating, where you're going through all these different parameters, and it's like, oh, there's the mirror ball.
Yeah.
So, in terms of the kinky speed dating events, is it sort of your quote-unquote typical speed dating format, where you have sort of a bunch of questions, you're going to change partners every couple of minutes, you're going to score people and sort of submit your top three?
So,
how does that work exactly?
The way that I run kinky speed dating is that you have 2 minutes to meet each person. And so you'll give me half the room. Everyone will be assigned a number on the tree. And at the end, we give people time to write pretty much on their box system to their number. And I say to them, this is your chance, this is your chance to write and do it whatever you want. It could be just me, you're a great team, you really need to meet you, you know, around to provide some of your Facebook or FetLife profile so you can have it later. Or FetLife can jump like, call me up and meet Allie afterwards.
So, you're the expert, you run the game. What's dating like for you?
Wow. So, I need to admit right here now that I've never actually gone on first date myself.
I mean, dating in general.
I pretty much got asked to do this before, like 5 years ago, and I really have a lot of fun with running it because I really I like helping connect people and doing that with a lot of my tenure and stuff, helping people find themselves and find each other. And so I can't necessarily apply my kinky speaking experiences to myself because I see myself more as a service provider than a personal dater. The last kinky speed conventions I ran, which is a slight different format because that's the one that helps support Bent, which is one of the parties at the Citadel. Considering that that's such a heavy party, they have a speed connection where it's just meeting people for social value. And I had somebody contact me afterwards and I'll play from it. So it's like, wouldn't say it. Some players don't want to be doing it for others, but.
I mean, what do you do for your own day? Are you on OKCupid? Do you just meet people in the community? Like, how do you find players and lovers of a run?
I've never had much, you know, I've tried the websites and the apps and never gotten them. I guess I'm just not digitally attractive. Whereas in person, like, you know, meeting people at Bumper Go Go, meeting people at game events later on. I rely a lot heavily on interpersonal interactions and meeting people directly.
Yeah.
It's so odd because I am exactly the opposite. I'm much more attractive online than I am in person. And I have much more luck meeting people online and developing mutual interests before we meet in person. You know, so that's interesting. That's.
And which that goes to show that, you know, everybody will have preferences, and it's, you know, I always look at dating as kind of like the connection of mutual interest.
What about you, Mir? Well, how does your dating go?
How's your dating?
You're the other expert.
Oh,
you're
God.
The dating walking teacher.
I am the dating walking teacher. I mean.
There's the stuff I teach and there's the stuff I do, which are related but a little different. Because a lot of what I recommend when I'm teaching is, you know, get out to lunches, see who you're seeing over and over again in the events that interest you. And that is a principle that I also hold for myself. Go to the parties that are of most interest to you, see who you're seeing over and over again. And just watch, like, really get a feel for folks, really get a sense of how people play, if they're playing with other people, not everybody will, because some people, of course, they will just aren't doing that. Get a sense of people's reputations. I have used online dating successfully, much to my surprise. Part of how that ended up working for me in a previous relationship was the person's profile was so radically honest and vulnerable. And I'm like, oh, here's that needle in a haystack I've been looking for, and there it is. Which only works if you're doing a kind of radical honesty that I find to not be frequent in online profiles. A lot of online profiles are about finding the person for right now, which is great. One thing I do advise a lot, and I say frequently, FetLife is not a dating site.
Oh, God,
no. But FetLife can be super useful. And here's how, and I've done this, and it works. And also, if you've got other RSVP systems, like Mission Control has an RSVP system for air parties, the way I have done it is before I go to a party, because I wouldn't know it, but I'm a motherfucking introvert, like serious hardcore. I would rather hide under my bed than meet people. So what I have done, what I've done successfully is, I used to do this a lot when I went to Velvet back in the day. I would curve the RSVPs for the party. And I would just go through people's profiles and be like, okay, this is what this person looks like. And this is what this person's into. And I would find like three or four people that I'm like, yeah, if they approached me, I think it would work. And I never tell them, right? I just go to the party and I'm like, so hi. And then, you know, this hot person is chatting me up. And it's like, so you want to play later? Like, yes, because I fucking read your profile. And I know what you're into. And I would do exactly that.
And to stalk a little bit.
Well, to stalk a little bit. So, I mean, that's the stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
You're RSVP, so then you have this FetLife profile, which tells you a little bit about yourself, so that way other people can see you.
Yeah.
Right.
I know I want your boot on my chest before I've even met you. We're cool. So those are the things that are like, those things work for me, and I think would work for anyone.
There's also the peculiarity of, and I'm pretty sure most of us at the table can relate, I've talked about this with a lot of people recently. When you start to get a profile in the community, when you are a title holder, when you are an instructor, when you are an venue owner, it does complicate things. I've been joking that you have to be at least this tall to ride this ride. And part of that is just, I've been doing this my entire adult life, and the older I get, the more fucked up I get in terms of being a sadomasochistic motherfucker.
Okay, that is where you're going with that.
Yeah, that is where I'm going with that. But at the same time, so there's the, like, I only want to play with people who are in the deep end of the pool. I can do house talking. I enjoy doing house talking. But that's not, you know, it's a service. But also as a community leader, or a perceived community leader, I have to be really careful.
I have to jump on that as well. In my tenure of the community venue owner, every time I meet somebody, I always want to know where I'm at. I am part of the brand of the place, and I cannot mess it up with somebody.
Yeah.
Because that will, you know, because, you know, my actions right now have such ties and repercussions that I'm always super cautious.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I probably still have a lot of that in my, in the back of my, like, so passionate back of my mind now, even though I'm not, you know, not representing me, I'm just myself now. Like, why do I
keep
thinking about it? Sorry, I sorry. Yeah. But the point being is that, you know, whenever you start helping another person, there's always a risk of something going wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the, I'm going to actually rip off what both of you have said, if I may. Part of the sort of being self-righteous writing for me, there's an element of it that, like, yeah, you have this community profile, you have this sort of reputation within the community that you want to make sure goes in a certain way, but it's also kind of applying at the deeper end of the pool idea.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really hard for me to do pickup play with someone that I've never met before, that I've never seen play before, and be able to trust, A, them, just in general, and B, I mean, you know, I get a good flirt, and I'm sure that other people out there do as well, and that's how I do, thank you, and that's how I pick up, that's how I do a lot of pickup play,
yeah.
But to be fair, a lot of pickup play I do, especially if I'm getting a really good flirt, is with people that I at least have some knowledge of, that I've seen play, and partly that's, again, it's a trust thing, but it's also because I want to get to a certain place. If we only have a certain amount of time on a piece of equipment at a public dungeon in a public party, then I want to get there, sort of get the quickest high I can get, because if you're going to play with me and I'm a heavy masochist and you're going to, you know, you don't know me, so you're going to see me at what is for me a 2, but for you is an 8, that's not going to work for me. So I need to know that you're going to be able to get me wherever I need to go and whatever that looks like for me in the moment. And then I also, want to riff off the thing that Ryan said at the very end about sort of understanding what the risks are. Because I was thinking about this in sort of preparation for the podcast today, and I feel like we talk a lot in the community about playing with SSC and playing with RAC, and I feel like dating, whether you're doing it while PG or not, is absolutely RAC.
Can you please define SSC and RAC?
Absolutely. So SSC is one of the terms that we use for kind of a how to negotiate, how to differentiate BDSM play or kinky play or what have you from abuse, and that is that it's safe, sane, consensual. It's been adapted to be called safer, safer, and consensual because of the idea that you can never be 100% safe, like you can never have 100% safe sex, so it's safer. And it's an excellent concept, but I tend to prefer RAC myself, which is risk aware consensual pink, because it puts the emphasis not just on, like, yeah, we're gonna be safe, but what do those words even necessarily mean? Like, what does safety mean to you? What does sanity mean to you? What does sort of being within your right mind mean? Those are really loaded terms. Whereas being risk aware and consensual, to me, kind of puts up that there's like informed consent. these are the things we're going to do. These are the risks of the things that we're going to do. I do one of the few things that I like to talk regularly is meals. And there's a lot of risky stuff that can happen with meals. You know, you're meals in somebody's blood, you can't even poke things. There's all kinds of shit that can go wrong. So you need to be aware of what the risks are. You need to make sure that the person you're playing with is aware of what those risks are. You need to do everything that you can to mitigate those risks or reduce their riskiness. And you need to both agree with as enthusiastic a guest as possible that you're going to do it anyway.
And you know, I think we are mostly into other thrill-seeking activities. Nobody in their right mind is going to call parachuting safe. But it should be risk-aware. Bungee jumping is not completely safe. Skydiving, scuba diving, like these are things.
Snowboarding, skiing, almost any sport,
I feel like there's a risk involved. Right, and you know, if you're smoking and enjoying pickup play, probably the majority of your risks are going to be physical. If you are looking for a partner, you are completely putting yourself on the line and being vulnerable in a way that is, you're going to risk yourself, right? You're going to risk your own identity. You're going for something transcendent. And, it's dangerous because it changes who we are, and that's why we do it. If you want to be, you know, exploring DS with somebody, like, strap in and hold on because your life will change.
And I think one of the really big things for me that separates sort of the dating version of rock, and again, I'm dating whether you're dating while kinky or not,
right,
and the sort of needle play version of rock, or the flogging version of rock, or what have you, is that it's really easy to sort of intellectually wrap your mind around what the risks are when you're doing a specific type of play, and sort of put together a checklist of, like, these are the risks, this is how I'm going to mitigate those risks, this is how I'm going to grow my partner. Whereas when you're dating, you're looking for this deeper experience, and maybe you're looking for a much more casual version of dating,
and that's
totally fine. But if you are looking for that sort of life partner style of dating, or some kind of 24/7 relationship style,
or even relationship, really dive deep in the moment, wherever
it may go, you are putting yourself at a really big emotional risk.
Yeah.
And I think it's really easy to say that, yeah, I'm totally grabbing my heart and get broken. Absolutely, no problem.
Yeah.
And yet, in the moment,
I got this.
It's like an emotional or two different aspects. A lot of times, you talk about the risk of emotional liabilities because there's things you don't see happening even in yourself.
Right. So you start playing with fear play, you start playing with mind games, you start playing with role play. You know, there's stuff there, and it's a matter of being self-aware. And it's a matter of being courteous to somebody you're going to do. That's my soapbox. I'm stepping on it. To be honest, soapbox. One of the things that I wanted to do, Brian, is I got a question that I already answered for a column on Patreon. And I want to throw the same question at you and see what you would say to this person, which may or may not match what I'm
thinking. And before we get to that, let's do a quick commercial break. All right. Everyone, hold on tight. We'll be right back. And we're back.
All
right. Hey, it's not my fault. She asked that question seconds before I had to say that.
Yeah, they're rude that way.
They are.
All right. Is something on your mind? You know, you have this, like...
Well, one of the things is, before you're kind of getting ready to do this podcast today, you were mentioning something about having wanted to prepare an outline, but then deciding not to do it because I wanted to wing it and we'll do random anyway. And I absolutely had a very specific point that I wanted to make today that, like, this conversation isn't going in that direction right now, and it may circle back, and I totally want to get to where we're going right before we went to break.
Grasp the moment.
Oh, because the moment is in my hands, so I should just do it, right?
Yeah,
just take over the podcast. Mir mentioned this a bit ago that they recently answered a question on a sort of, you know, ask Wicked Mirror, whatever it is, and it was a dating question.
Sort of.
And
one of the things that they mentioned in their answer was just sort of avoid the people that give you the one cool way version of dating or whatever kind of advice, be it kink advice, be it identity advice, be it whatever kind of advice.
What do you mean by one true way?
TWU, yeah, TWU, the one TWU way. And what I mean is the idea that there is only one way to do something. That if you are going to be a bottom, what that means is that you do these three things in this specific way, and that's the only way to bottom ever. And if you do it any way other than that, you are doing it wrong. And they're going to take your king card away, just FYI.
Oh, God.
I already lost my toaster.
This isn't actually a tactic used by people.
Better than 10. Deep insecurities.
Deep insecurities trying to, show off, I am topper or dominant than thou, and I know exactly how many ways to do this, and you will do it my way for I am Master Dragon Button.
I have 25 years of experience. You see all the buttons on my cup that show all of my experience. You see all of the scars on my leg from the whatever.
Right.
Isn't it interesting in the you have to be two, this tall to ride this ride leg? Isn't it interesting how Master Dragon Ride always seems to find the most inexperienced fucking newbie in the scene and want to quote unquote mentor them.
And that is exactly the thing that I wanted to bring
because
up.
Because they do not have the confidence to actually play with experienced people. But they're going to tell us all how to do this thing? Excuse me?
Well, they've been doing dumbing online for 25 years.
They've been dumbing in person for 25 years, and I can't get somebody to stick with them.
So they've been dumbing in their head for three years, and they're 18, and they're super excited, and they're going to tell me how to be the better bottom.
Well, that's the other thing is anybody, and I said this in my article, like, anybody, including me, right, including us at this table, anybody can hang out a shingle and say, I am a kink educator, I know everything. I teach gaming while kinky. You may have noticed that I have opinions about things. I know it's shocking. But those are just my opinions. That's my advice.
Whenever I get into class on any subject, I always record my introduction saying, this is what I do.
Right.
This is suggestions. Take what papers what is useful for you, throw out the rest. Make up, I'm here to spark and give you some ideas. I'm not here to give you a master's degree.
There is no one right way to do this.
The thing that I had hoped to have, we just spent like 5 minutes not talking about, apparently I'm really good at getting to the point, so taking that, sort of wanting to ask, and I will start with my own story if I may, wanting to ask sort of, what is the worst advice someone has ever given you about dating while kinky? And I'll start with my story, because I've been in the kink scene for just about a year now, in terms of being out and about and acknowledging myself to myself and being true to myself and blah, blah, blah. I actually just had my 1 year kinkiversary this very day. And I had dated 4 people in that year, on the kink side of things. And most of those relationships, 3 of the 4, just sort of ended pretty amicably. They had fizzled out into friendly acquaintances, what have you. One of them was more intense, more intimate, deeper, all of those things, and ended really badly. And as I was crying on a friend's shoulder, they turned to me and said something along the lines of, well, you should really never date anyone in your first year of play anyway, because it's kind of like AA. And you really need to figure out who you are as this new identity before you can date. And I have so many issues with that statement, which we don't need to go into, but I just kind
of just wrong.
It's like the worst, especially when someone is crying on your shoulder because they just had a bad breakup. It's like the worst, and to be fair, I've heard this from at least 5 different people, so this is not just one friend that was giving me this bad advice.
You know a lot of wrong people.
I know a lot of well-intentioned people who are wrong, and you are wrong advice for you. That was not the right advice for me, and it may well be the right advice for some people. But it's just really interesting to me, sort of the idea of self-exploration as mutually exclusive from self-exploration, which is a lot of what you do when you're dating.
I guess the worst advice I got was probably to be pretentious.
What?
Yeah, no, I didn't know the way they put it, but I was having someone help me figure out how to represent myself online, and it was just so pretentious. And it wasn't until 4 or 5 years ago that I made a really straightforward, honest, I am about this.
Right.
This is what I want to do to you, and vice versa, and put that on Tinder, that was just really open and clear and straightforward, that things started working for me, and I started dating constantly.
absolutely correct. The person who is nice to you, but is crap to the waiter, is a crap person. And that's a real, the best way to judge character is how do people treat
people they don't need something from.
Or people that they need something from transactionally.
Or people that are providing them with some kind of service, especially if you're a service-oriented Kingster. Pay attention to how they treat the folks that give them service in other aspects of their life.
I have a bias, but the person who doesn't tip is probably not going to take good care of you because they are not a generous person.
And
they
probably
do not recognize what they're getting
that
from you and your value.
That.
Yeah.
So. Your tipping rate.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get you on to supporting people who provide services.
There's a lot of value to what this community space at Coffee Grounds offers that is beyond things that you can exchange good for money. Patreon is how we do that and make it sustainable. I also invite you to find, if you like what we're doing, find other creators, Life Side of Living, or Allison Bondage Land, or Azalea Company, or Pickle Water Industries, and throw them some bones to keep making possible us providing things that we value.
Wonderful.